I mean, this has been a fantastic week, but it's been a great weekend for Orlando sports. The Magic won yesterday in the playoffs. We have a soccer team that's not losing every game, so that's good. And the Orlando Predators won last night in their opener, and I happen to be very happy about that. My son's quarterback on that team, so it was I don't know if he's going to be able to finish the season, but it was good for last night. So a lot of good things happening today. Anybody know what today is? Today's Palm Sunday. Exactly. And for a lot of you people, and maybe not so much for younger people, but that was a significant day in the life of a church. On church calendar, we celebrate Palm Sunday, and a lot of people may be wondering, what in the world's Palm Sunday? Can you believe that? That's the age we live in. But this is the Sunday that we celebrate Jesus' triumphant entry on a donkey. And all the crowd and the multitude stood and threw palm branches and saying these words that you are reading right now as you're looking up there. So I thought, we're pretty much a multitude. So I want you to stand at your feet. We're going to practice this because this isn't only for Palm Sunday. This is how Christians greeted each other. So this is should be our greeting, and it will be in just a second because I'm going to ask you to do it to each other and see, try it out and see if it feels good. Maybe you can expand it to your people you work with when you greet them tomorrow at work. Let's say this together. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Let's do the quotation one more time, and then I'm going to turn you loose on each other so that we can practice this. One, two, three. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Turn around and tell people and greet them. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
I'm God, we are grateful for this day and for all you intend to do with it. We ask that you would bring us with a sense of expectation, a desire to know what it is you want to accomplish, and a willingness to be obedient to whatever or wherever or whoever that means. God, we thank you for the fact that our life comes from you, and we pray that we would worship in a way that would demonstrate appreciation for that, in Jesus' name.
Oh, it is good to see you on this Palm Sunday. I need some help up front here. Leroy, could you help me here? Russell, can you help me here? Richard, I'm going to get you to help me too in the middle here in just a second. What I've got for you this morning is Legos. And so the ushers are moving around the room now. And if you wouldn't mind, as these comes past you, go ahead and reach in and grab two pieces of Lego, whatever piece you want. No, you leave that one there. If you'll just kind of run the middle when it comes to the middle and kick it back. Yeah. We've rehearsed this a lot. Just grab two. We're going to move that across the room. Today begins a new series for us. It's entitled The Lego Series. And if you are not caught up in the Lego phenomena, that's okay. Take a look at the screen, and we will give you a glimpse of the Lego movie.
Morning apartment. Good morning doorway.
Morning wall. Morning ceiling. Good morning floor.
Ready to start the day.
Ah, here it is.
Instructions to fit in, have everybody like you, and always be happy. Step one, breathe. Okay, got that one down. Step two, greet the day, smile, and say,
good morning, city!
Step three, exercise. Jumping jacks, hit them. One, two, three. I am so pumped up. Step four, shower. And always be sure to keep the soap out of your ass. Shave your face.
Brush your teeth.
Comb your hair. Wear clothes. Oop, almost forgot that one.
No, not.
You are so disappointing on so many levels.
Relax, everybody, I'm here.
Batman!
What's up, babe?
Babe!
What?
Oh, sorry, Batman, this is Emmett. Emmett, this is my boyfriend, Batman.
I'm Batman.
That's your boyfriend?
Hey, babe.
What?
Let's hold hands.
So, hey, guys. I think we're about to crash into the sun.
Yeah, but it's going to look really cool.
This morning, we kind of move into the Easter season, and we've titled the series our Lego series. Next week is Easter Legos, and we'll explain all of that as we kind of move along. But Legos are amazing things. You can make anything out of them. Make a cup. I know you guys will want that. You can custom make any way you want. But also, something else is going on. Some of you guys have seen this morning. I know the kids have been running around. Some of the adults have. But each week during our Easter season, for the next 4 weeks, we are playing a game called I Spy the Lego Guy. And what that means is that all across this building, each week, there are 10 Lego people that are hidden within the walls of the building. Now, if you find these Lego people and you show up and you tell us at the end of worship this morning, we got prizes for you. And we'll take it on the honor system, so don't lie because you're in church. But if you'll bring this to us, and then next week you want to grab this, get here early because the Lego people will move and they will be in a different place next week, and so you can hunt them. And so just fill that out. There'll be brand new sheets out there. Now, I promised I would help some of you guys because something happened this morning that we weren't aware of. We had a Lego guy bite the dust up here. So this is the guy in the black helmet, for all of you that couldn't find him. He's actually been just kind of laid out here on the floor. He was actually sitting up here earlier, but he disappeared. And so that's a gimme. If you haven't found him, that's a freebie. That one's on me. There's some other ones in the worship center. I'll give you one more just in case you haven't spotted him yet, because it takes a keen eye to spot these guys. It's really important. But if you walk right down here and you just kind of walk along and then look up toward heaven, right there in the light, there's a Lego guy hanging in there. And then so that would be another one that you could grab. But there are more in this room. And so, again, all over this building, there are Lego people. They'll be there every week. We are having a good time, but we're also celebrating Easter. And all of that will make sense to you a little bit later. There's two Lego pieces that you have. And if you haven't got them yet, they're coming. They'll get there in a minute. Hold on to those. You will need those. And I will tell you what to do with those at the end of our worship event this morning. All right? Let's bow our heads and hearts and let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that you give us a chance to come together and be able to celebrate what is the most important event in all of human history. It's a moment that defines history. It splits it wide open. and everything that happened before prepared us for all the moments that would come later. And Lord, we're excited about that. And even this morning, as we know that we're just on the brink of celebrating once again your coming back from a tomb and coming back from the dead so that we can have life, we do so with a great anticipation and a lot of hope for all that can happen in our lives and in the lives of others over the next few days. And so God, this morning for us in this place, I pray that you would be with us as we worship together. We would desire that the songs of praise that we lift to you today would become the cry of our heart. I pray that as we worship in your word, that we would be willing to look and read and see things maybe just a little bit clearer than we did when we came in. And then when we walk away, we would walk away reminded again of just how much we're loved, but also reminded again of just how that love changes everything. So that's our prayer, our hope, and our desire this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you stand?
Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day. than thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere.
Let no more walls divide us. May we be one, and let the cross of Christ unite us. So the world will know the Father has sent his only Son. May we be one. May we be one. May we be one. Let no more walls divide us. Let the cross of Christ unite us, so the world will know the Father sent his only Son. May we be one. May we be one. May we be one. So the world will know the Father sent his only Son. May we
Bibles and open up to the New Testament. Mark is where we're going today. You remember that Mark is one of the Fantastic Four from our previous series. And we're going to look at Mark chapter 12 today as we talk about being built to connect. We open up our Lego series with being built to connect. And that's where we will begin our journey this morning. I'll give you a second to turn there, and then if you have your worship flyer, you can see where we're going, and it's written down there. The outline's also on the app. Back in 1998, a significant event happened here in the United States. The National Toy Hall of Fame was opened. Now, if you would think of all the toys that have ever been created, 1998, the opening class, the first inductees into the Toy Hall of Fame would probably not surprise you. Barbie was first one in. Viewmaster was one of the first inductees. The Etch-a-Sketch was inducted into the Hall of Fame. The Lincoln Logs, the Hula Hoop, and Legos. We call them Legos. They're really officially called Lego. If you want to be accurate about it, they're just Lego. In plural, they're still Lego. I don't know why, they just are. But they were created back in 1932 in Denmark. And the story of the creation of Legos, really is a spiritual story, and we're going to actually unpack that for you a little bit more next week. But in 1932, when Lego was created, it was the first of what would be a number of versions of what we know today as the Lego brick. Now, we've passed those around, and we did that while we showed a video, and I showed you some Lego men in the room, and you guys were selective. I've heard reports back that some of you are very selective when it comes to Lego. You're Lego snobs. You had to have the right one and the right piece, and if you didn't get it, you kept fishing around for it. And you guys know who you were. We were watching you. We had to actually turn the cameras on you while you were looking, wiggling through there. But hopefully you have those two pieces, and you'll hold on to those, and I'll talk about those again in just a few minutes. But it is amazing since 1932 that Lego, to this point, is the third largest toy manufacturer in the world. But yet what they're doing hasn't changed a whole lot. Matter of fact, it hasn't changed hardly at all. And if you open up any Lego box, you'll find a wide variety of colors. You'll find a wide variety of shapes. And what you've got is you've got your basic square. This one has six little prongs, connect points on it. You've got the flat pieces, the bases that you can kind of build on and do some things with if you decide you want to get really creative with those. You've got these long, funky-looking things that you can use to create arms and movable parts with, if you want to use those, if you're a Lego connoisseur. And then you've got these oversized things, because these are actually Legos, but they're Duplos. Now, if you're a younger child, maybe this is what you got to play with, the Duplos. Interestingly enough, and you can check this out for yourself on your own time, but Duplos will connect perfectly with the adult Lego pieces. They're made to interconnect. Even though they're made for children, they connect. So the little ones can connect with the big ones. And interestingly enough, if you happen to own one of the original Lego sets produced back in 1932, those pieces will still connect to a Lego set that you buy today, because they haven't changed what they've done. They haven't changed the model. They haven't changed the brick style. They all still work. And so Lego becomes a timeless kind of toy. There are antique Lego, but who knows? And nobody cares, because you put them in a building and you create it. As you look at Lego, and you've got a couple in your hand, so take a look at those real good. They have one purpose. They're designed to do one thing. They're created for one reason, and that reason is, and you said it, is to connect. That's what a Lego is for. And even though they come in a variety of sizes, and there's a whole lot of things that you can add to it, the Lego brick becomes the model for what we use as our metaphor for life as we move toward Easter. And we think about the importance of that, and so we're going to talk about that. We're going to tell you some stories about Lego bricks that you'll find interesting. But by the same token, we want you to use that as a starting point to at least get you thinking about what it is that we're supposed to do and what it is we're supposed to be. As I was thinking about a Lego, it got me thinking about life, and it got me thinking about what's important in life and what would Jesus say is the most important thing in life. And interestingly enough, and most of you know this, he answered that question. There was a time where Jesus had to confront what was most important to him, what mattered most to him, what his top priorities were. Now, it's an event that you've read about in Scripture. It's not a new passage. You're not going to go, oh, I've never heard that passage before. You're familiar with this passage. You're familiar with the verse that we're going to focus in on. But to set it up, you have to understand that people for generations have wondered, what's really important to God? What matters most to God? If God were to give an answer, you would be able to interview him and say, what matters most to you? What would God say? Well, Jesus steps onto the scene, and he answers that. Prior to Jesus arriving, rabbis had been debating that. And in Jesus' day, what they had done is they had taken the Torah, the Old Testament, if you will, and we've looked at that over the past few weeks. And as they were going through the Torah, they decided that there were 613 specific commands that were there in Torah that if you were going to be a follower of God, you had to obey. And so a hobby, a ritual, a practice of rabbis in the day would be to sit around and debate which of those rules, which of those commands that they found in the Old Testament were the most important. And that became the stuff of theological conversations. That became the fodder of a debate between a rabbi here and a rabbi there. It became something that the people would talk about because, again, everybody wanted to get it right and everybody was trying to decide what was most important, and people formed their opinions. Jesus burst onto the scene. And Jesus burst onto the scene and begins to make claims about his life. His followers begin to make claims about his life that no one had made like he did before. And Jesus amasses a following of people. And we see that, and that's what we remember today on this Palm Sunday, as Jesus had that triumphal entry into Jerusalem. But as people were getting to know Jesus and listening to him teach, they realized that he was able to say things and was saying things like unlike anybody else. And so it's no surprise that Jesus, as a young Jewish rabbi, who is now teaching and amassing a following, amassing a group of disciples, being quoted by people, people were talking about him, that it would not be long before the rabbis of the day, the religious leaders of the day, decided that they needed to hear what Jesus had to say about this topic. And so the question was asked, of all the commands, what's most important? And that becomes where we launch into our Lego series, as we've been talking about and unpacking this idea that we were built to connect. And so if you have your Bibles open to Mark chapter 12, we're going to read beginning in verse 28, and we're going to look through verse 34. And in this passage, we find out what matters most to God, what the big rocks are, if you will. Where are the big bricks? Here they are. One of the teachers of the law came and heard Jesus arguing with the Sadducees. And seeing that Jesus gave good answers to their questions, he asked Jesus, which of these commands is most important? And Jesus answered, the most important command is this. Listen, people of Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second command is like this. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. There are no commands more important than these. And the man answered, that was a good answer, teacher. You were right when you said that God is the only Lord and there's no other God besides him. One must love God with all his heart, all his mind, and all his strength, and one must love his neighbor as he loves himself. These commands are more important than all the animals and sacrifices we offer to God. And when Jesus saw that the man answered him wisely, Jesus said to him, you're close to the kingdom of God. And after that, no one was brave enough to ask Jesus any more questions. That is a powerful passage, by the way. It's a loaded passage. There's a lot of stuff in there that we could dig out, a lot of stuff that we could discover. But basically, you start with the entire Bible, like they did, and inside you find 613 Torah laws. But if you were to take those and stay in the Old Testament alone and were to whittle those down, you would come up with basically 10. We'll call them commandments. 10. And they're a big 10, and most of us know them. But if you were to boil down the 10 commandments and take a close look at them, you'll discover that those 10 commandments really revolve around the two commandments that Jesus settled in on. Love God, love others. And so when he gave that answer and they began to think about that answer, they realized that he, in one sentence or one phrase, had kind of summed up what was the entire debate that they had been having. Love God, love others. That's what's most important to God. If you're ever playing Jeopardy and that's a question that gets asked, that's the answer. And that answer will be right because that is what he said was most important. And so those become the building bricks of your faith, if you will. They become the starting point of your faith. If you're going to understand faith, if you're going to understand what it means to be a follower of Jesus, if you're going to understand what it means to be a Christian in the world today, then you have to understand what Jesus just said. Love God and love others. And so I want to start our series with the law of the Lego. The law of the Lego. And it's simply this. You see it on the screen. You were created to connect. You were created to connect. It happened way back in the Garden of Eden. God created man so that he would not be alone, that they could have fellowship with one another. All through the Old Testament and then again in the New Testament, we've just been through a series on this, we see over and over again how God was trying to connect to his creation, how they would reject him, how God would try to reconnect with his creation, how they would reject him, and how he would try to connect with them again. And when we get to the era of the New Testament, we find out that Jesus then says, I will dwell in you and I will dwell with you, and you are now to connect with one another. And so we get to this moment where Jesus is summarizing what it is that he came to do and what it is that's the most important. And so the law of the Lego brick. Because we just said a minute ago, the Lego brick was created to connect. You're like a Lego brick. That's why I started thinking about life when I was looking at a Lego brick. Because how we live our lives and what we do with our lives matters, and you're a lot more like a Lego brick than you think you are. Now, for some of you, you're saying, well, that explains a lot. It does. But for us, we're going to look at that and kind of blow up the Easter story just a little bit and blow out the Easter story just a little bit and discover some things about our life and our walk with God that we need to remember. Because see, each Lego brick, and I have some here in front of me, you've got a couple in your hand, they're each individual, but they're interdependent on another one for success. In other words, you got a brick, but a brick's not much good until it connects somewhere else. And so in each one of our lives, we always have choices of what are we going to connect our life to? Who are we going to connect our life to? What is our life going to look like? And believe it or not, in your building a Lego structure, your connection is more important than your position. And I want you to know the same truth is true in life. It doesn't matter what position you have in life. It doesn't matter what position you hold. It doesn't matter what job you do or what others think about you. What matters is who you're connected to. And Lego brick is designed for connection. And so for us, we go back to what Jesus said, and we realize that Jesus was saying the same thing. Love God, love others. Well, how do you do that? By connecting to God. And then you have to connect to others. And so we're going to look at a couple of things that he said and break that down a little bit. So the first thing I want you to see is that we are to connect to God. In other words, we're to love God. Jesus said it this way. Jesus answered, the most important command is this. Listen, people of Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Now, in the first part of this answer, Jesus quotes out of Hebrew. And he's actually quoting Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 5. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 5 says this. Listen, people of Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. Almost verbatim. And each word that Jesus says holds special significance. A few years ago, I did a series on this particular verse, and we called it Love to the Fourth Power. And we talked about how each one of these becomes important. And so we're going to do a quick summary of that. Because, see, throughout the Bible, when Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, the word for heart, a word that is pronounced cardia in Scripture, encompasses the physical, emotional, and spiritual life of human beings. The heart is the source of our feelings. It's a source of our emotions. Feelings like joy, sorrow, depression, despair, happiness, and cheerfulness all spring from the heart. And so to love God with all your heart means to love him deeply and personally, like you love no one or nothing else. Love him with all your heart. And for a lot of people, this is where it starts to break down immediately. Because when Jesus says you need to love God with all your heart, what happens is we try to love God with part of our heart. In other words, we want to regulate God to the same category that we love other things or other people with. And that's not what he's talking about. When he says all, you'll find this to be amazing. He means all. And so when Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, in other words, everything that you have, everything that you've got within you that can love anyone or anything, I want it all. And see, that's counterintuitive to us because we just know that we're not real good at that, and so we're not going to do that very well. Because if I love him with all I have, then, well, how am I going to love anybody else? Well, can your love supply really run out? And is it possible that it's not until you love God with all your heart that you'll ever be able to love anyone else or anything else like you need to? Because that's exactly what Jesus was saying here. He was redefining the way that we have to face life, and he was redefining the way that we have to face love. And so, yes, he is saying exactly what I just said. He's daring to say that until you love God with all your heart, you will never be able to love anyone else and do it effectively. Now we'll come back to that. But he also goes on and he uses the word soul. He says, love the Lord your God with all your soul. The soul that he's talking about here refers to the entire person. That means it is everything that you do. You're sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life. Perhaps the best way to understand it would be this way, at least in this context. The soul that he's talking about here is both who and what you are. Inside and out. He's not talking about the eternal destination of your soul in this particular case. But he's just talking about what makes you you, your entire life, your entire being. And so loving God with all your soul means allowing God to define who and what you are. And that's the gist of what he's saying there. But then Jesus adds a word that wasn't originally in the book of Deuteronomy. Because then he adds, love God with all your mind. The mind is actually an English word that translates into several Greek or Hebrew terms, but basically it is the center for intellectual activity. In other words, this is where we do all our thinking and learning. It will become later that we talk about the renewing of our mind being so important and getting to know God and transforming our lives and connecting with God. And so Jesus now is adding and writing what is new scripture here for these guys. But he says you need to love God with all of your mind. In other words, you're going to focus your thinking and your learning in and around him. And he's going to become the hub of all those things that you begin to process through your life and that you ponder and that you allow to become what influences you and what you know and how you're going to view and make decisions. You love him with all your mind. And then he says, and love him with all your strength. And strength has nothing to do with how much you can work out. It has nothing to do with how you are in the gym. It has nothing to do with any of that. What it means is that your energy output, everything that you do, your work, your job, whatever it is that you put effort into, that's what you're supposed to do for the glory of God. And so Jesus says, one of the ways that you show me that you love me, one of the ways that you show that you love God is that when you do things with all of your strength, you are doing it because you are doing it not for yourself, but you're doing it for the glory of God. He says a lot in that one answer. And he loads it up with meaning. And so it's an understatement when the guy looks back and says, that's a pretty good answer. That was a pretty good answer. It's a fantastic answer. It's a great answer. And in one phrase, he encompasses all this is that we're supposed to do and all we're supposed to be. And when you put all these pieces together, the passage begins to explode with significance for us. And if you're sitting there today and you're a follower of Jesus Christ, this has to be part of the hub of who you are. And this has to be one of the things that you allow your life to wrap around in the way that you start living your life. And if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, then this doesn't make sense to you yet, but it will, because there will come a moment that you have to make a decision to either go all in or walk away from the table. Because when you decide that you're going to go all in for Jesus, then this is the call of Christ on how you are to live your life and how you are to love him. See, we like to think that we can come to God and love God on our terms. And you must understand this, and please don't be offended by this. You ain't got no terms. Because you don't have the ability to love without God. Now, someone's going to hear this, and I'll get an email, and they'll say, well, I'm not a follower of Christ, but I know how to love. No, you don't. No, you don't. And the only reason that you think you do or you have a glimpse of it is because he first loved us. Because the Bible says he loved us while we were still sinners. See, the ability to love and his loving you has nothing to do with your performance. It has nothing to do with your behavior. It has everything to do with who he is. But once you get to know him, then the command is that you will start learning to love like him. And that becomes the quest and the goal and the journey of your life from that day forward. If we love God with every fiber of our being, we're going to discover that sometimes it doesn't work well. And so the question is, well, how do we do it? How's it going to happen? Well, guess what? He helps. See, he not only tells you what to do, but then he gives you what you need to fill in the gaps and to help you through the rough spots. You have to connect to God. I am amazed how often it is that we try to live our lives and we say that we're living our lives for God, but we don't do anything to connect to him. We don't spend time in his word. We don't spend time in prayer, except if it's an emergency prayer. Some of us are really good at the 911 prayers. We throw those quick and fast, but we don't check in with God on that day-to-day basis and ask him for help and ask him along the way or ask him what his word is trying to teach us. We don't use the gifts that he gave us. He gave us gifts to unwrap so that we could use to build up the body of Christ so we would be stronger and we would reach and touch and change the world with love, and we don't use those gifts. We just become collectors of them. We put them on the shelf behind a display case so they never get dusty, they never get dirty. And I got news for you. God has gifted you, and the reason he has gifted you is because he wants you to flat try to wear that gift out. And you know what? You can't do it. Because you can't take the gift that God gave you and wear it out. It is indestructible because it is supernatural. And the giver of the gift has never had a recall. And so you don't have to worry about that. So even on your worst day, your gifts are still strong. And you can do exactly what it is that God has called you to do on any given day of your life. If you've got breath, you've got an opportunity to do what you were created to do. Jesus says, you love me with everything that you've got. You connect to me because you were created for connection. When we started our story of the Bible back in the Garden of Eden, man was created for connection. At the very end of it, I shared with you that we were talking about recreation. He's going to make it brand new and give you a brand new body and connect with you in a way that he never has before. The whole story of the love of God is a story about connecting, which is why the Lego becomes a really easy illustration to use and thinking about what it means. But it's not just about connecting to God. He also says something else. You have to connect to others. And so that's the second point. You have to connect to others. Love God, connect to God. Connect to others, love others. Sometimes this too can be difficult for us. The second command is this: love your neighbor as you love yourself. There are no commands more important than these. Now, it will not surprise you that when Jesus gives the second part of the answer, he is quoting Leviticus 19:18, to be specific. Also, a misunderstood passage. And so Jesus kind of wades into it, and he talks about loving your neighbor. Well, as you can imagine, rabbis like to debate a lot of things. And so in Jesus' lifetime, rabbis were debating, well, who exactly is my neighbor? And they had a whole school of thought arguing over the meaning of the word neighbor and who qualified to be a neighbor and who would be designated as a neighbor and who was not a neighbor. And so for a Jewish rabbi, a Jewish leader today, a neighbor would be a good Jew who strictly observed the Jewish law. And if you were a good Jew who kept the rules and kept the rules of Torah and observed the law, then you were a neighbor. But if you did not do that, then you weren't a good neighbor. And so therefore, they did not have to love you. As a matter of fact, they would go even further than that. They would justify a reason for hating you. And you would be considered an enemy of the Jewish people. Not even worthy of having a soul. Not worthy of knowing God. Not worthy of their time. Not worthy of their effort. They were part of the elite. They are loved by God. And you weren't. So they didn't have to deal with you. And you say, well, that's kind of cruel and cold. Yeah, it is. But that was the debate of the day, and that was the belief system of the day. So imagine Jesus coming along saying, you got to love your neighbor. And the Jewish rabbis going, oh, we're all about that. That's what we teach. And then came a day, and you're familiar with the story, where they asked Jesus the question, well, who's my neighbor? And Jesus, as he often did, let me tell you a story. And he begins to tell a story. And we know the story today as the Good Samaritan. But what you have to understand is that Samaria, well, these people who did not love God like the Jews love God. These were people who were considered to be enemies. These were people who were considered not to be people. They were subhumans. And if you're a good Jew, you didn't even talk to a Samaritan. Which is why it was so problematic that day that Jesus decided he was going to walk through Samaria, and the disciples were like, wait, we can't follow you through Samaria. There's Samaritans in there. And I'm sure Jesus looked around and said, well, what do you think they're going to do? And they're like, well, they're going to jump out and be Samaritans right in front of you. And Jesus said, come on, follow me. And he left. He just left him standing there, and they had to follow him. They had to catch up with him. And that's also why at that well that day, as he sat there at Sychar, don't kid yourself. They left Jesus at the well by himself so the 12 of them could go into a Samaritan city to look for food, because the 12 chickens were afraid to be alone in Samaria because they were now going into the territory of their enemy. They left Jesus on his own. They figured, you know, he says he's son of God. He can handle himself. We're going to go together to McDonald's. Don't believe. When you get to heaven, you ask. Ask Simon Peter. That's why they were together. It doesn't say that in Scripture. I'm convinced it is true. And so they went together. And so Jesus tells them this amazing story, and the Jewish guys are the bad guys. And the Samaritan was the hero. And so Jesus then came back around, and when he was done telling the story, he said, so who was the neighbor? And of course the answer was the Samaritan. And so Jesus never told them it was the Samaritan. They're the ones that said it. But it was the conclusion of the story. And Jesus forced them out of their comfort zone to recognize that their definition of neighbor was a lot narrower than his. And Jesus, when he said neighbor, he meant everybody, even people that aren't like you. So the real question isn't who is my neighbor, but the real question for you and I is, am I being a neighbor? Because loving your neighbor means loving the people around you. All of them. That's the part we don't like, right? The all of them part? Because that means that we have to love people that aren't like us. That also means that you have to love people that may not like you. That means that you have to love people that may not ever acknowledge, appreciate, or respond to your magnificent love. But you have to love all of them. See, and Jesus couldn't have given us the greatest command without giving us the second, because the two are intertwined. Because you can't have one without the other. Because loving people is the visible manifestation of loving God. That's why we're going to do an egg hunt next weekend. Because who better to throw an egg hunt for the community, whether they believe in Jesus or not, than those people who know what the celebration is about and who love Jesus? See, that's why we're going to call you to go out into the community next weekend and sweat and get involved in this thing called customer service, where everybody that comes is our guest. And we're going to treat them with dignity and respect and love simply because we love Jesus. What a better way to put that on display on an Easter weekend than hunting eggs. Does that mean that everybody that comes to that egg hunt is going to be in a good mood? Oh, no, 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 no. You've probably heard of the great egg fight of 2005. Oh, yeah. No, I don't know. I'm just kidding. But there's, everyone's got to be in a good mood. People are going to fight that day. There are going to be people at the Bunny Breakfast that are so mad at each other, they're not going to talk. There are going to be people that get there, and they're going to be huffing and puffing at the lines are too long. Because the lines will be long. And if you can't complain about a free event, what can you complain about? And they're going to ask you questions that you're going to go, seriously, you don't know this? Doesn't common sense give you an answer to this? This isn't overcomplicated. You pick up the egg, you put it in the basket, you pick up the egg, you put it in the basket. It's simple, right? Take the eggs, turn them in. We got a prize for you. There's no prize egg? No, there's no prize egg. There's no money in the eggs? Heck no, there's no money in the eggs. But we're going to do that because what we want people to do is get to that moment where they ask you the question, why would you do this? And when that happens to you next weekend when you're working, there ought to be a light that goes on in your head. It ought to go ding, 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 ding. And you ought to say, because we love Jesus and we love you. And then what you're going to do is you're going to hand them this card. And you're going to say, look, you can connect to God and you connect to others. Where? At the church at 434 next weekend, because Easter Sunday morning we're talking about Legos. Everybody loves Legos. And you don't even have to tell them we're going to talk about God. We'll sneak it in on them. And we'll walk away and go, everything is awesome. And we'll be talking about Jesus, and it's going to be a great time. That's what we're doing it for. Why? Because we are called to love others. Whether they're like you, or whether they're not like you. See, Jesus didn't come, and you guys, some of you have heard me say this so many times, you're just going to roll your eyes when I say it. But he didn't come for padded pews and stained glass. He didn't come so you could be comfortable. We didn't put a little mint on your seat before you got here so you could sit here in comfort. See, this is nothing but a hospital for sinners. This is not a hotel for the holy. They're meeting in other churches today. But you, I have looked at you. I have seen your resumes. My gosh, you guys are the weekly meeting of Sinners Anonymous. You're rats. And the great news is, I'm chief among them. And so because I'm the rat king, I can tell you, you're rats. But we are getting better, just a little bit better, because I know a truth and you know a truth. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. And because God loves us, we can love others. And that means loving people means you're going to rearrange your life. You're going to go out of your way to do something for someone else. See, we don't like to love if it causes us inconvenience. Well, if it doesn't cause you inconvenience, it's probably not love. What's love got to do with it? Everything. And sure, is love a battlefield? You bet your bottom dollar it is. But love is also many a splendid thing. Love hurts. I'll stop. But love is when you start using your resources to meet the needs of others. Love is when you start putting yourself out on the line to greet people and meet people where they are. It is where you start fleshing out the greatest command that Jesus gives us. Love God, love others, and do it over and over and over again. So that begs the question now, how loving are you? See, because I have a feeling if I were to say to you today, do you love God? Yes, 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 Pastor, I love God with all my heart. Good. How are you showing that? See, that hurts a little bit, doesn't it? It's kind of like stepping on a Lego. But you can't say you love God until you start loving others. Because Jesus said, the second's just like the first, isn't it? You got to do both. The Bible offers us a little test. It describes what perfect love looks like. You've heard this before. 1 Corinthians 13. If you've ever been to a wedding, you've heard this. Love is patient and kind. It's not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It doesn't demand its own way. It's not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged. It doesn't rejoice about injustice, but rejoices wherever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, endures through every circumstance. Love will last forever. And against that standard, nobody in this room measures up. And you need to know that no one ever has measured up against this standard except the one who set the standard. And that's God. As a matter of fact, this passage means a lot if you replace the word love with Jesus. Hear it again. Jesus is patient and kind. He's not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. He doesn't demand his own way. He's not irritable. He keeps no record of being wrong. He doesn't rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Jesus never gives up. He never loses faith. He's always hopeful, endures through every circumstance. Jesus never fails. And yet you're called to learn to love like him. And he promises to help you along the way. I poured out a container of Lego bricks. You can do this today. Go home. Go to Walmart on your way home. Buy you thing a Lego bricks. If you have enough money, they're expensive. Go home and pour it out on the table. You know what you don't have? You don't have a castle. You got a pile of Lego. And you know why? Because it ain't connected yet. See, just pouring out a box of Lego bricks, they don't produce a castle. All you have is a pile of brick. But you have to do something with that brick. You have to make a choice to pick up the first piece and figure out how to connect it to the second piece. And sometimes it doesn't work right. And you have to keep working at it and working at it. And sometimes it works good and sometimes it doesn't work good. But that's how it begins. And so today, you may not be real good at loving God and you may stink at loving others, but today can be the first day of the best day of the rest of your life. And when you do, everything gets awesome. And you begin to discover a life worth living because all of a sudden you're living a life that honors God. Life might be less complicated if we all got a Lego at birth. I realize it would be a choking hazard for young children. I'm not saying that. But here's what we learned from Lego. There's strength in numbers. When the bricks stick together, great things can be accomplished. Disaster will happen. But even when it falls apart, the pieces can be put back together again. Every brick has a purpose. Some are made for a specific spot. Most can adapt almost anywhere, but everyone fits somewhere. They always do. Connecting is important. Sometimes it doesn't matter what you're building. Maybe you don't even understand what you're building. But you have a little piece of it, and there's joy in building that. And that's cool. Color doesn't matter. A blue brick fits in the same place as a red brick, as a yellow brick. Size doesn't matter. When stepped on in the dark, a 2x2 Lego brick causes the same amount of pain as a 2x8 brick. They all hurt, and they make you say words that you have to ask for forgiveness for later. We are searching all month long for Lego guys. All Lego people are created equal. They're 1.5625 inches tall. But what they become is only limited by your imagination. It doesn't always turn out as you planned it. Sometimes it turns out even better. And if it doesn't, you can always try again. Because as I understand the kingdom of God, it's never too late to be who you're created to be. Remember the law of the Lego. You were created for connection. And so what do you do with this? We've started our Easter series now. So what do you do? Well, it's simple, isn't it? I mean, I gave you the 2 points. How can you blow that? Connect to God. That's good. Good way to start. Make an irrevocable decision to make God your highest priority. Today can be that day. spend time in His Word, pray, use your gifts, serve, connect to Him. Connect to others. In other words, learn to see others, serve others, and sacrifice for others. Give of yourself. Recognize that what you're doing is just simply fleshing out who it is that God has called you to be, and you exist for others. See, in a world that wants to tell us how to love, we kind of get love messed up because we always evaluate love based on what we get. And we think, well, I'm being loved when I get what I want. And then you work to do things to get what you want. And that's not love, that's reward. And if you don't get the reward that you were seeking, you get ticked off. You get in a snit, you get sideways, and you'll show them you're never going to love them again. And I think you've missed the point when you do that. Because when I read Scripture, love involves giving of yourself. And you know what happens when you start giving of yourself and you make others the focus of that? You love God, you connect to others. Then all of a sudden you begin to discover that you're getting loved. Somehow God has an amazing way of balancing the books. So love is not about what you get, it's about what you give. And when you start to give, you discover that it's never really been about you. But God just loves you so much that He just makes sure that He pours into you what you need. When we began, you picked up two Lego bricks or two Lego somethings. I told you we'd come back to that. We're done, so I'm going to tell you what to do with it now. Here's what I want you to do. One is for you. Keep it. Hold it. When you pray, hold it in your hand. Remember to pray. Connect with God. But the other one is for you to give to someone else and invite them to come with you next week and to connect to God. I'm not asking you to go out there and invite your whole neighborhood. I'm asking you to invite one because you only have one brick. So here's the question for you when you walk out the door. Who's your one? Who's your one? I'm not asking for your office. I'm not asking for everybody in the drive-thru line at Mickey D's. I'm not asking for everybody that lives on your street. I'm asking, who's your one? Just one. You have one brick. And you give it to them and say, look, I would love for you to come and join me at the church at 434 next weekend. Connect to God. We even have those cards outside that you can hand them that card. You can pick those up on the way out. Tell them to come, and then what you're going to do next week is you bring your brick back, and anybody you invite, hopefully they'll have a brick, and they'll walk in the door with the brick. Because when you get here next week, as part of this Lego series, we have a creation that will be being made, and you get to come in and participate and make and add your brick to the mound of stuff we're building. And so when you come in, grab a Lego, put on it. We'll even have some extra Legos if you want to get really creative and start creating your own. And together, we will be doing this group project, Lego Mania, and creating something together. But this becomes the opening that you need to have a conversation with somebody that you know that needs to be here. Who is your one? And everybody knows one person that needs to be here. So don't give it to the person sitting next to you. They're already here. Find a different one and invite them to join us. All right? Bow your heads and hearts. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are good to us and you love us. And we are grateful. We were made to love you and love others. It sounds so simple, and yet it is so complicated. And yet we desire to get it right. And so we struggle through it, and we plow through it. We try to figure out how to make it work. And we discover, only when we're willing to try, that you step in and fill up the gaps and you do the work for us. There's some people who will hear this, and there are some who are listening even now, and they don't know you. They haven't made the decision to take that step of faith, that leap of faith, and believe in this whole Easter thing. But today they can. And it is that moment that they decide that you do love them, and they want to explore that, discover how real it is. And so I pray that this would be their day of decision to believe, trust, and follow you. Lord, for others who are in this room, Lord, We know that. It's just that sometimes loving others is really hard. Because, see, we want to love God based on how we feel about somebody else. And we want to love based on how they treat us. And yet, we go back to the basics of what you said, and you kind of messed all that line of thinking up back in the first century and even today. We're to love others. They're all our neighbor, and we need to share. So God, lay on our hearts even this week who our one is, and help us to give him a Lego piece and invite him to come and connect and allow them an opportunity, maybe, just maybe, catch a glimpse of you in us. That would be our hope and our prayer and our desire this day. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to stand. We'll be dismissed. Go ahead and stand your feet.